Books on Tape presents John's Story, The Last Eyewitness, by Tim LaHaye and Jerry B. Jenkins. Read by Robertson Dean. Part 1. The Heretic. 1. Rome, A.D. 95. Bright sunlight interrupted the old evangelist's reverie, and when dust invaded his stone chamber, John was spurred to stand and peek out. He had been extradited the night before in chains from Ephesus to Rome, the capital of the empire, where he was to stand trial before Caesar Domitian. Once Jesus' youngest disciple, John was nearing his 90th year, and his long, lanky frame bore a massive crown of white hair and a full, long beard that framed his leathery face. Thick brows hooded dark eyes his friends had always described as piercing, at times accusatory. Robust for his age, especially considering the long, arduous journey, he had been unbound and imprisoned in a dungeon cell beneath the Colosseum. Now, at dawn, he discovered that by standing on tiptoes, he could peer out a tiny barred opening at ground level to the vast stadium's athletic fields. It was much too early for festivities, and yet men, women, and animals had begun to fill the grounds. Large, powerful women practiced wrestling holds in the rising dust, and brightly costumed dwarves ran in place and stretched. Ferocious animals, prodded and agitated by their handlers, were led snarling to cages. John had only heard of such bizarre acts, confirming reports of the emperor's fascination with the macabre. Clearly, all these participants were preparing for some spectacle. John could only assume that it was his own execution. His stomach growling, he retreated to sit with his back to the wall and pray silently. Having long outlived all the other disciples of Jesus the Christ, John had known this day would come. He had invested his life in telling the world of the man he believed rose from the dead more than half a century before and held the power of eternal life. All his compatriots, every one, had been martyred for the cause. He expected no less for himself. And yet, despite his years, it seemed too soon. No, he didn't anticipate living another decade to reach 100 years, but it struck him that there remained so much to do. The flock he led in Ephesus was growing in number and in maturity. And what of all the other churches in Asia? His frequent journeys had endeared him to all of them. Perhaps it had been all that traveling that had spared him from the Romans for so long. Others, the younger, the more robust, could accomplish the work. But John took what he believed was a justified pride in his station as the only remaining disciple of the very Messiah himself. John neither feared nor dreaded death. He did not welcome it. Who would? And yet, the privilege of dying for his faith, for his Lord. With his bony shoulder blades pressed against the cold stone, John lowered his chin to his chest and prayed silently. Father, my life has been rich and full, and if I am to perish in your service, then I willingly commend my spirit into your hands and consider it an unspeakable privilege to follow my Lord. But there seems so much more to accomplish in your name. Nevertheless, not my will. John jerked to attention at the sound of a sniff and saw a guard leaning against the bars of his cell.
I can douse the torch if the oil bothers you, the man said, his beard greasy from the foul flesh he'd been gnawing.
He appeared a civilian, unarmed, glassy-eyed, perhaps from drink. And yet, those were the first kind words John had heard since his capture.
If it's not too dark for you, sir, John said. I need no more light than the sun this time of the day, the guard said, reaching for the torch with his free hand and plunging it into a bucket of water.
He smiled at the hissing and the steam, nodded at John's thanks, then reached a grimy hand through the bars, offering the rest of his meal. John hesitated,
Sample complete. Ready to continue?